Expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby. Teacher seems to feel the same way too. Worries, worries pile up on my head.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. If you'd like to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. I have, coming into the studio a little bit later on, I have Aaron Lajewski, presiding officer of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and we'll get all that information from him when he gets here. Until then, it's just me and you, and today's a political day. So last night on Monday, we had our city council meeting and went very well. During the meeting, it was City Attorney Paul Ewer's last day. He retires today. Today's his last day. So last night was his last meeting. A very, very fine person. Exceptional. He's been down there since about 2002. Or 1996, I think, part-time in the beginning. And so, very valuable person, very exceptional knowledge, and just a wonderful person to work with. So I wish him the best in his retirement. That's all you can ask. And then during the meeting, I signed the agreement between the Environmental Protection Agency, the State of Alaska Historic Preservation Office, and the City of Fairbanks. I signed the document. The final document needed for the agreement, so they will release the money for us and we can start the project of bringing down the Polaris building. We have the final drafts of the construction easements with the neighbors going up for their signature. And so I'd say in about a week, we're going to be putting the RFP to knock it all down out on the street for bids. So little by little, bit by bit, we've been building up to this, putting the building blocks in place, and it's been going well. So anyway, we got snow plowing done. How about that? You know, it's when you have a storm, you know, it's going to be inconvenient for a lot of people. A lot of people got stuck last week. Last Wednesday and Thursday were not the best days to be traveling in the interior of Alaska. We were expecting 4 to 5 inches of snow. We got 8. And City of Fairbanks, they did a great job. 2 days prior to the storm, I approved overtime, and I looked at their snow plowing plan. And basically what it was is as soon as it starts snowing, they're going to start plowing. They're not going to wait for it to end. They're going to start plowing and then do it again on all the main arterials. That way you have a good plan in place. You're getting it done. You're keeping the major thoroughfares, collector streets open, and now they're removing all the snow from the subdivisions. So we're doing that. We'll probably do, depending on the snow in March and April, we'll probably do a third removal of hard pack in all the subdivisions. So we usually do two, but I'm tired of being at the mercy of snow, so to speak. So we put together a good budget, a good plan. We had all of our temporary hires in place by November 1. So when it starts snowing this time, we start going after it. So anyway, looking at the state of Alaska, the legislature's doing pretty good. I was down there last week. There's a better harmony this year than there has been in the past. Very enjoyable. And in the House and the Senate, the House, they have 17 brand new legislators, and they you know, when you have that big of a group, there's a camaraderie there. And it was good to see that camaraderie. Very good. The state Senate, you know, 17 out of 20 members are all in one group, so they get along well. They have their different interests that they're going to respect and reflect on. But the big thing will be how much will be the permanent fund this year, how much will be education. Those are the big events. I was down there and they're looking at PERS and TERS, and I saw a presentation on it and to the state Senate, and I just don't think that's going to go anywhere this session. Maybe next year, but it's quite complicated. A lot of math, a lot of review, a lot of reports for a final version, if any, to be voted on. So I just don't see that happening down there this year. And no, I just don't. So anyway, but I enjoyed myself down there. I had a very good time with our Fairbanks contingency. Will Stapp, Frank Tomaszewski, Mike Kronk, Mike Prox, Ashley Carrick, you know, all Maxine Dibert, met with them all, enjoyed all of them. On the Senate side, Senator Rob Myers was not there. He was doing a family issue. But Click Bishop and Scott Kawasaki, great times with them, good meetings, good positive meetings for doing what I was doing. And first time I went down there to do that, I was very well received. Most of the people know me anyway, so most of them have been on the show, what the heck. And it was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable. Just one of those things I got to do. And what the heck, they want me to do that on an annual basis, so we'll see. Try and get them live on the phone, calling in from Juneau when I can. They're going to start getting more busy here, it seems like. The first month is, you know, setting everything up, and then they get into the heat of the budget. They stopped all items going into the capital budget last Wednesday, so that's the last day to put something in the capsis, as they call it. And what the heck, they are operating, they're doing well, and again, there's a better camaraderie there this year, so I think you're going to see more items getting done over this legislature's term, which is 2 years. So with that, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFIR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
KFAR Weather.
Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 6 above, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight, lows dip down to about 3 above, cloudy. Snow likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 12. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. We don't have Mr. Lajewski in here yet, so again, it's just us. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Tomorrow is March. March and September, the months of the equinox, are my favorite months. In March, you get snow, you get 20 below, you get 25 above, you get the crisp, deep blue sky. March is that month where you're almost there. You get the nice, sometimes you get the nice weather in winter, and it's just beautiful. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Ron, David.
Ron, how you doing?
I'm well, sir, and you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Something that was on my mind since you last had Representative Proxon.
Yeah.
You were talking about wants and needs. And, a recurring thought that I've had over time is I can't quite grasp how you, the representative, and myself can be entertained by such a bunch of ruffians.
Well, isn't that special, Ron?
next time you're remodeling, if in doubt, paint it black.
You got it, buddy. You got it. You have a great day. Appreciate the phone call. And we do have Aaron Lajewski is in the room. He just got here. He said he'd be here at 11:15. It's 11:16, but that's okay. Assemblyman, how you doing, sir?
Hi, David. Hey, you know what? I thought I was starting at 11:30. 11:15 was the padding.
You texted me, said you'd be here at 11:15.
Yeah, I thought I was doing the second half. Anyway, we're on the radio now.
Yeah, one more time. You said I'll get there around 11:15. Okay, yeah, I understand what you're doing now. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
How was your last assembly meeting?
Well, that's what I'm here for, but you called me an assembly member. I'm not here technically as an assembly member, but I'm going to be recalling some things
that
happened when I was an assembly member on Thursday. I'm just not speaking for the assembly in any way, shape, or
individually,
form.
Individually, yep.
So I actually have all my notes from the last meeting. There were a number of notable things that happened. And
well, it sounds like, with the trails plan, it went back to the you had an ordinance to send it back to the platting board and have them come out with three ideas on how to do this. And I like that. I like that. You know, I'm a property rights activist, and, you know, when I just reviewed what you're doing, whether you guys are doing or not, it's up to you, but I was just reviewing it, and it just seemed like it was a potential taking of individual property rights. So, but that's just my thought.
Well, so we did send it back to the platting board. I suppose I don't need to read it now. It's a somewhat unwieldy motion that got through and several times amended, and there were amendments to the amendments.
Don't you love that? Yeah, you better have a good clerk to keep up with all that, man.
We do, and the good news is, you know, that whole meeting, I'm a brand new PO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a few months in. I only got slightly confused once to the amendments, and so forth. Only one time. And just for a couple of seconds, the clerk set me straight, and then we were all set. So that is always good to have a professional clerk who's been well-trained in parliamentary procedure and whatnot.
Yes.
But this was one of the actual notable things. The newspaper didn't report on it. So you're right. It did go back to the platting board. They're going to hopefully come back with some really good suggestions about how to have the plan and protect private property rights at the same time. And by the way, I would say this about it. The plan does a fairly good job at doing that. It does have one hole, and that's been the subject of criticism of some of the assembly members, and it is a legitimate criticism. There's no question about that. But if you exclude that one area, it's actually pretty good. There's a lot of ways that property owners can work with the plan and work with the trails folks to make sure they're not impacted in a negative way.
What got me was the trails folks just said, we're taking this. We're doing this.
That's the hole.
That was the arrogance of it. I just found that profusely arrogant. That they would just, hey, we don't care if it's your private property. We think there's a trail. We might want to have a trail. We could have a trail. And therefore, there will be a trail.
Well, actually, it's not that bad. It's actually been misconstrued a little bit. The whole is that if there's a category A or B trail that crosses your property, when you go to subdivide, you have to grant it an easement. Now, you might be able to move it a little bit so it's less annoying to you. You might be able to move it to your lot line or whatever if it had gone through the middle of your property before. Mm-hmm. But you're mandated by our code to give it an easement. That's sort of the whole. So this this motion that was made by Assemblymember Wilson was, hey, platting board, give us three alternatives to this. Put your thinking caps on. We don't want to use this process, but let's make sure it basically never happens because we have so many great alternatives.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying. So, and the platting board really is the place where they have the expertise and the knowledge to come up with those alternatives. So I'm looking forward to see what they have to say. Now, the mayor, of course, is well aware that there are some real concerns about private property rights on the assembly. So he came up with a motion, and the newspaper didn't report on this, and I think it needs to be said on the radio. Mm-hmm. Now, I will read this one. It's very short for everyone there. So this was additional language that he was proposing to insert into the trails plan. And the language was very simple, one sentence. He wrote, "Eminent domain powers shall not be utilized by the borough for acquisition of recreational trail easements."
Perfect.
Which you would think should be pretty non-controversial.
You would think so.
Even the subdivision easement taking, yeah. That is not technically eminent domain. So, yeah. But it's at least ruling a bunch of other stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
And it only got 7 votes.
Who voted against it?
I remember one of the two, and I can't remember the second. And I can tell you the name that I can remember was one of the no votes. Assemblymember O'Neill was one of the no votes, and the other, I just can't remember which it was, who it was. I'd have to go back and literally check the record, you know, look at our notes or whatever.
She wants an eminent domain on trails. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to pretend a little bit like I am an assembly member, even though I'm not speaking as one. I'm not going to speak to someone's intent. All I can say is that's how the vote went. Mm-hmm. And I was certainly disappointed. I thought that should have been a 9-0 vote. And the mayor put it in really because he just knew that there's this controversy. Like, hey, I'm going to make it clear. This isn't what's happening.
Yeah.
And
here it is.
Yeah. It's for everybody to see. So that way we can narrow it down to the one issue that does exist.
Yeah.
Right. And then we can work on that with the platting board sort of thing. So, I wish the Newsminer would have reported on that. I'm not really making a dig at them. It's just a little detail that I thought was very important.
Very important. Yeah. You'd like to see that in there. Yeah. I was down in Juneau with Mayor Ward last week, and he had to do the meeting via Zoom, and I saw him the next morning. He looked tired. You guys were there till like 1 o'clock.
Well, so that's a separate issue. It's kind of like an open secret, I suppose. So our current assembly is very
divided,
wild, or divided, or contentious. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it makes having a hyper efficient meeting incredibly difficult. And of course, it's my job when I'm there as an assembly member, because they elected me to run the meetings. I basically need to act like I need to put on the ref hat. I kind of, during the procedural bits of the meeting, I take myself out as an assembly member. I'm just the ref. I'm just helping everything go mm-hmm. as best I can. And you know, at one point during the meeting, 3 different assembly members and from different sides of any perceived political aisle, they just kind of started shouting at each other. And that's probably the single worst moment I've seen. There was one assembly member who was campaigning, it was quoted in the paper, basically had a call for action, said, hey, a couple of these folks are up for election next year. I hope you're listening how they're
talking. That was Savannah Fletcher. Yeah, that was Savannah Fletcher.
Well, I hope no one else does that. You know, it's one thing just to speak nicely of someone who might happen to be up for election or whatever, but if you go and you use that position to ask for people to vote a specific way, to me, it doesn't really matter if it's a ballot initiative or if it's a person who's up for election. That's not a correct use of that microphone at that time. Now, you can come on the radio with you, Pruse, and do that on your own time. No problem. You're just exercising your individual right to free speech. But when you're behind that mic as the mayor for yourself or as an assembly member or whatever, you're quite limited in what you're supposed to say. You're always supposed to say it to the topic, and you just don't have the same freedom of speech that a citizen has.
That's correct.
And so one of those limitations is you don't go out and campaign for a specific person or against a specific person.
Well, it seems like Savannah and Mindy and Kelly, they've violated a few norms when they didn't allow Jimmy Cash's ordinance to get us to advance. You know, he was gone, and they had a conflict of interest on another person, and they did not let his ordinance advance. Now, that was the last time we were in here. That's the first time in memory that's happened. So,
with the caveat of without the permission of the sponsor.
Exactly.
Occasionally a legal issue has been found or whatever, and the sponsor wanted to pull the plug early.
Yeah. And so it seems like at times they're very, very antagonistic, because for the first time in a number of years, they're uber liberal philosophy is in a minority, and they just don't like it.
Well, and to be fair, David, it's kind of everybody. There is what you're saying is probably happening too, but there's just Well, I get reports even from the public that there's just like a lot of eye rolling and things going on. So I've been encouraging folks, hey, put your poker face on. Mm-hmm. It's assembly meeting. We all need to be nice to each other, even though we might wildly disagree. And, get to the meeting and move on to the next one every single time. Just keep moving. Next, next, next.
We'll be professional. Be issues. Professional.
I guess that's the easy way of saying it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing everything that I can.
I appreciate that, yeah.
At least that I can think of. And I think it's helping. I really do. I think it's helping quite a lot. But we just have an interesting mix of individuals at a time where, like you were saying, that there's kind of been a little bit of shift of direction of the assembly. Mm-hmm. There's some folks who've been used to it for a long time, and they're, I guess, they're still acclimatizing. Maybe that's the nice way of saying it. And I think, some people thought last meeting was pretty terrible. In some ways it was. But I'll tell you what, as the ref, I was feeling pretty good even when the worst stuff was happening. And I don't mean like I thought everyone was acting in the way they should. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were some moments where it really started to go off the rails, but I felt like I was always able to get back on the rails. And that's what I mean. I was feeling good, able to direct the meeting into the procedural area where it was supposed to be. So I can tell you that, I don't know. Your meetings haven't been as contentious as ours.
No, they have not.
So I can tell you when it's super contentious and it's your job to run that meeting, I mean, mm-hmm. you need to be tracking who's talking next. And I'll tell you what, when it's that contentious, if you accidentally skip someone, you got your list and you just skip a name, what often happens is that person thinks that you did something nefarious and you intentionally skipped them to penalize them or something. Like there's like paranoia involved. So you got to be like really meticulous as much as you possibly can, get that list as perfect as you can. And then in our rules, yours might be different, but let's suppose, four assembly members have gone and spoken, mm-hmm. and then one of those four puts their hand up again, and they should be the fifth one and the fifth person to speak, but one of the other five assembly members who hasn't spoken raises their hand, but after the person who wants to speak a second time. Well, that person who hasn't spoken yet gets to go first.
I know.
So you need to keep track of not just the order, but the quantity of times they've spoken.
And that's Robert's Rules of Order.
Well, that's actually a modification. Yeah. Robert's Rules, I think, says... It's something similar. I'm wanting to say it's actually something slightly different.
It's when you have an assembly or something like that. Yeah.
Robert says that if multiple people, we're getting into the weeds here, but if multiple assembly members or city council members raise their hand at the same time, if you as the chair kind of know one's for an issue and one's against, you're supposed to alternate them.
Yeah.
Not in the assembly rules. Our assembly rules are slightly modified. You just take them in the order that they raise their hand. Mm-hmm. But I've got four people to my right, four people to the left, sometimes people online. You can't always tell who to raise their hand first.
Do you limit how many times a person can speak on a subject?
So the chair does have some ability to do this. Our rules say the assembly is supposed to limit itself, but it's not defined as like a quantity.
Yeah.
So, of course, the assembly always can move the previous question. And if anyone hears that while you're listening, it's usually better not to, because usually it takes more time. Because then you're going to vote on whether you're going to vote.
Yeah.
Usually, if you just be quiet, you end up voting faster.
The intricacies of our arcane meetings.
And I'm sure you've noticed that at the city council as well, that the formal motion to move the previous question rarely is productive.
Mm-hmm.
It can be. I remember one time I moved it. This was years ago. We were in finance committee, so it wasn't on the radio. And there was and I'm sure it's still there, at the library, there's a fee to use the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if it was like $2 an hour or $5 an hour or whatever. It was a fairly
nominal amount.
For most people, it was a nominal amount.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he did make a good point. It was Christopher Quist was kind of driving this debate, because the total revenue from this piano was going to be, in the scope of the budget, absolutely nominal. We could have made the piano fee nothing, and it would have made no difference to the budget, because it would have been a $100 issue over the year or whatever. But he actually made a good point that economists would agree with. It's interesting because, sometimes our more liberal colleagues, they will come through and make a really cool point, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, you know what? That is a nominal amount in terms of the borough. And I was complaining that we were wasting too much time on it. But he said, you know what? To that high school kid who has no money, $2 is a lot of money, mm-hmm. or whatever the dollar amount was. And I was like, well, one, still, we shouldn't be spending that much. That's not good enough justification to spend like hours on budget on this little tiny issue when we have million-dollar questions. But it was still a really good point. So he was getting at what's called diminishing marginal utility of whatever it is. So if you're really thirsty, right, the first bottle of water you drink mm-hmm. is way more important than the second. Yeah. And so same thing with money.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're going to have some Fox News, state news, some commercials, and some weather, and we will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Residents in East Palestine, Ohio, now raising concerns over dioxins, chemical compounds linked to a litany of health problems following that toxic train derailment.
I'm taking that information back to my team, back to Washington, D.C., and I want folks to know that we've heard them loud and clear on that topic.
EPA Director Michael Regan. The Supreme Court hearing arguments on President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan.
Six Republican-led states say the White House can't use a 9/11-era law allowing student debt forgiveness for first responders and enlistees to now canceled student loan debt for about 16 million borrowers.
Fox's Evan Brown. President Biden nominating Julie Sue to be his next labor secretary. Sue served as deputy secretary under Marty Walsh, who is leaving the Biden cabinet to take the helm of the NHL Players Association. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that the Alaska Department of Health issued a public health advisory in late January, responding to a spike in HIV/AIDS cases in the Fairbanks and interior region of Alaska. There's a lot to consider with how they came about and how they're linked, the department's HIV/STD program manager Kamala Steiner said. The advisory issued on January 31st noted that the state's section of epidemiology noticed an uptick in cases over a 12-month period. In January of 2022, SOE identified a time-space HIV cluster in Fairbanks involving three new cases of HIV among military service members within a four-week period, the advisory said. In addition to cases among military members, several residents were also diagnosed with HIV later in 2022. During October through December 2022, six new cases of HIV were diagnosed among persons residing in the Fairbanks interior region. Case investigation work and partner notifications are ongoing. The Alaska AIDS Assistance Association, known as the 4As, offers a 20-minute rapid test and it is free.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Large pepperoni pizzas every day, fresh and fast, at Great Alaska Pizza Company for only $10.99. Alaska's best pizza value all day, every day. Large pepperoni pizzas only $10.99. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
When you find an automotive repair shop with service you can trust, that's a big deal. That's why so many of our Napa Auto Care Center's customers tell their friends and neighbors about us. Stop by today and pick up your referral cards. When one of your friends comes in for vehicle service or repairs, our Napa Auto Care Center will reward you.
Get your Napa referral cards today at Expressway Auto, your Napa Auto Care Center in North Pole.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. I have Aaron Lajewski, presiding officer of the Fairbanks Borough Assembly, in the studio with me. He's got lots of charts and stuff, it looks like.
Oh, so I wanted to get into another issue. So the two big issues from the last Thursday meeting. Again, I'm speaking as myself, not as presenting officer or even technically as assembly member, just myself. We went over the KIP. I guess we could talk about big picture about the KIP. And yeah. I have some really good news about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole KIP, it kind of goes back, you know, give him some credit too. Carl Castle kind of helped. He set some of the groundwork mm-hmm. that led to the KIP. Now, he didn't know exactly what to do. I mean, he knew generally, big picture, what needed to be done, but he didn't have the exactly how do you get there. He knew what direction to go. And you combine that with the fact that the voters began to reject issuing of bonds, which I think was a great idea. I hope that, and I'm speaking as myself here. I'm not using the mic of the assembly member. I hope that we continue to reject any bond packages that come up, and I hope that they don't even come up to begin with. I don't think they're needed. But the voters began to reject bonds, and then I suppose I was another important part of the mix. I was elected, and so what we had been doing before, I've talked about this on the radio, and a lot of your listeners know that for our major maintenance, new schools and whatnot, one of the major things we had done is we'd just go to the state and we'd say, hey, the school's starting to fall down, we need a new pool, or, well, you never really need a pool, we want a pool, but you know, schools are more in the category of needs. And the state was fairly flush with oil money. I mean, it had a few hard years, of course, in between, but for several decades, it was doing quite well. You know, go back to 2012, and what did the state have? Like, was it like $12 billion of oil revenue or something? If you go back in the charts, and now we're down to, you know, like one or two. It was just very flush compared to how it is today. And so we got a lot of those large capital projects just given to us from the state. And then, as everyone remembers, we started to have harder times as a state government in terms of oil revenue, and the spigot kind of got shut off on these large capital projects. And we're sitting there, we hadn't developed a way to pay for them, other than ask the state for money.
Yeah.
So it's not like the feds made up the difference. So our buildings started to
deteriorate.
More and more deteriorated.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the Nolwenn Library and... Luke Hopkins refused to put it in the assembly's budget because he was always maintaining the state's going to pay for this. The state's going to pay for our new roof. That was about 4 years where nothing happened on it.
Yeah, and you
that was a philosophy from the third floor up there.
Well, it wasn't just him. It was decades and decades. So I got elected, and I remember a specific question. And I honestly think it was planted by a critic of mine. It was meant to be a gotcha question. But instead, it ended up, in a way, helping to change the course of our capital budget for the whole borough. And the question, it was during the League of Women Voters when I was running for assembly the first time. And the question was, hey, we're spending to the tax cap. We cannot generate any new tax dollars, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it was basically combined that with the fact that the state has been paying for our capital projects. You can't raise any new money. How are you going to pay for capital projects unless you raise the tax cap? So obviously it was a leading question, right? They're trying to say, you got to raise taxes or else our buildings are all doomed. And I called it out as a biased question. I said, this question is wrong. All we need to do is budget for it.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. And that's what we've been doing. So I started the budgeting process. I introduced an ordinance way back, I don't know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And what I figured was, okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll think about it like retirement, right?
Yeah.
Retirement, you know, people usually try to hit a target percentage of their paycheck and they just float off to their 401k or whatever. A lot of people, I know not everyone does this, but many, many people do this.
Hate to interrupt, but ready for a phone call?
Yeah, we can do a phone call.
Okay. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Charles Ava. I got a question about this air quality and the state involvement in that. I guess that's a general question. I don't know enough about it to ask any more. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, I'm certainly not an expert in it, but I could give you the basics of what's going on. The EPA has been watching us for quite a while. They have their regulations, and we've been out of compliance with them. And when you're out of compliance for a long enough period of time, it starts triggering certain events. And some of them, in the end, can be rather punitive. Like, in the end, some of their worst sticks that they can beat us with if we don't get the air that they want is they can start to, like, yank our federal funding for highways. And I believe they can even start to deny permits for construction of expansion of manufacturing or new power plants. Like, it can be really, really onerous. And so at one time, the borough was trying to implement air quality regulations to do this. That power got kind of banished from the borough. The voter said, no more borough doing this. So that left it to the state. And so the state does these serious implementation plans, state implementation plans for the EPA. And the latest round, they put off to the EPA, and the EPA said, well, we like some of it, but there's some big parts of it we don't like. And that's what you're hearing about in the news right now, and David, you sit on Fast Planning, right? Were you part of the, involved with the drafting the resolution from Fast?
Yeah, we had Jackson Fox do that for us, a 7-page, very detailed, very good written response. And what always got me about that was 86% of the air quality issues is PM2.5 comes from wood stoves. Yet they're wanting to attack the road infrastructure and other things that aren't associated with it and hurt those areas and probably cause more harm than good. You know, it's just, you say to yourself, why are you taking away road money to help people, you know, live and not get in a bad accident when it's 86% of the problem is from this one area that has nothing to do with transportation?
Well, and Fairbanks is nearly in attainment. Yeah. Fairbanks is just barely, by the slightest margin, out of attainment. But the North Pole area, my recollection is they're still pretty solidly, like they've gotten way better, to be fair. They've gotten massively better, but they're still solidly outside of attainment.
And then what they do, you know, sometimes, some years ago, it was like 50 parts per billion, and we just were getting ready to hit it. And they said, no, now it's 35 parts per billion.
That's happened too,
yeah. They always change the level of where they want you to be. And so, anyway, I just sort of shake my head.
This is a big issue. It's absolutely a huge issue, because if they come down with those Stiepitz penalties, they're going to hurt us a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them is going to be forcing the power plants into doing a certain level of scrubbers and whatnot. And I've actually already asked the deputy presiding officer. I need to remind him, because this sort of thing can get, you know, forgotten about quite easily. But I would like to get GVEA in for a committee of the whole. And I'd just like them to present to us, and basically my question to them, and if anyone's listening from GVA, feel free to email, because I haven't reached out individually, but if we implemented the regulations that the EPA is saying for our power plants, what's that mean for cost at the meter for the user? Is that 1 cent per kilowatt hour? Is that 10 cents increase? Is it a tenth? You know, if it's a tenth of a cent, it's almost like who cares, right?
Yeah.
But if it's doing 5 cents, 10 cents, that's going to really, really hurt the area materially. So I would like to know what that is. Because when they go out there and they tell you it's $100 million, it's like, what does that mean? Because you might bond that over 50 years on a 4% interest note or whatever. I don't know if a 50 or 4% note exists, but you get the point, hypothetically. And amortize that out over the rate payer over 50 years. And it's like, what is that per kilowatt hour? And they can do those calculations. They're not, you know, they're projections. They're not always perfect, but they can give us a reasonable estimate if they want to. They got good finance people and econ people and whatnot. But I'm going to move back to the KIP here. So we had the situation, right? The borough was continuously begging for money for the state, and that's how we got our stuff done. The spigot got turned off. And so what I did was I wrote an ordinance. I said, hey, what we're going to do is we're just going to take 7% of our expected tax revenue every year, and we're going to shove it over into this maintenance fund. What we called it back then was the Facilities Maintenance Fund. And got that passed. I think it was only passed in a 5-4 vote. I think I brought in two of the co-sponsors on the radio with you, David, and we kind of talked it up. And we needed every vote. We barely got it through. And the mayor was against it, our current mayor. But he's kind of come back to love it.
Yeah.
He's like, this is a good thing. I'm glad we did this. So he brought the companion piece. So that 7% was like a source of funds where we could start to pay for our buildings. Well, now you need to figure out how you're going to spend it.
Yeah.
That's where the mayor stepped up. And I came in as a co-sponsor with him, and so did Matt Cooper at the time. And we all got together, and we pushed this legislation to create the KIP, the Capital Improvement Plan, which was the plan of how to spend that 7%. And, you know, it just goes down year by year. These are the projects that you want to go through. And, of course, my vision always was from the beginning that we target maintenance first. If someone wants to expand government or something, well, that could be in the list. I kind of look down on it quite a bit because I'm not really in favor of a giant government or anything, like a small one. But if there were something to expand, it should be down the list, deprioritized after all the maintenance. You should get everything up to snuff before you even think about doing something fancy and new. Now, I would put the caveat, if you want to compare this to an individual car, if you got that old beater car, you've been running it for 20, 30 years, at some point, it makes sense to replace it with a new one. In that particular case, I view that like maintenance. It's a new building in place of maintenance. It's not a new building to expand. It's not like you've got a second car, you disposed of the old beater, and you got a new one.
So during this, Savannah Fletcher put in a $50,000 amount to study another facility for...
Let's get to the recycling facility just a little bit. I want to hit something else. I was just checking my watch.
We're going to take a phone call real fast.
We can try that. Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey. I've been troubling, so I'm a little out of air. I'm listening to you. My neighbors are listening forcefully, whether they like it or not. Sorry about that, people. However, you know, this EPA stuff, once that we get all these wood stoves taken out of people's houses, because they can't even come up with a wood stove that they're happy with. Every time that they say, here's an EPA wood stove, then it changes and it's not good enough, so you're just wasting your money. But every time they, once they get rid of all the wood stoves, then they're going to come around, they're going to say, well, your boiler's more than 8 years old or 7 years old. You got to get a new boiler. because it's one of those things, a slippery slope. We live in a bowl here, and no matter what we do, the trucks, the power plants, the aircraft, they pollute, and the air doesn't want to move. And I understand what they're saying. People got to have clean air, or we're not going to live.
Yeah.
However, just doing a knee-jerk thing by saying, all right, we'll get rid of wood stoves. We're going to get rid of trucks that burn without the additives. Come up with a solution. This is not 1969. Come up with something real and make it work for everybody. And don't just punish the few is what we need to do.
There you go. Rick, thank you for the phone call. I got to take a commercial break, but you have a great day.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Aches and pains keeping you down? McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine has the only certified primary care sports medicine physician in Fairbanks. Dr. Malcolm offers a variety of treatments to include ultrasound-guided injections, platelet-rich plasma or PRP injections, and stem cell therapies. These regenerative medicine techniques are cutting-edge and can help your body heal itself. Dr. Malcolm can perform these procedures in office without the need for surgery. Don't let pain get you down. Jump back into life with McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. Call 456-3338 today.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business offering gift certificates at half price, all from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday is Friar Tuck's Hoagie House. Perfect time to score that awesome food at half price. The Tuck's Roll, the Po' Boy, huge salads, amazing French onion soup, and their famous hoodoo cheese fries. Plus live sports on the big screen in every corner. Amazing food to eat in or carry out. Fast and delicious. Plus a huge selection of beer and wines to choose from. And now you can get a $25 gift certificate at half price. This week's 50-50 Friday from Friar Tuck's Hoagie House off Merhar Avenue.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Temperatures reach up to 6 above. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely tonight, 3 above. Overcast. Snow likely again tomorrow, high of 12. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, David Perus in the studio here with Aaron Lechewski. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thank you, David.
We were talking a little bit about the KIP and how that goes and things you're throwing in there.
Yeah, so some changes were made, and I kind of knew about the likelihood of these changes going in. I'm looking at my spreadsheet now, and I just wanted to address a couple of things that did happen on, you know, during the meeting that were broadcast on the radio during it. And one of them is Assemblymember Cash made an amendment, and he wanted to kind of do a swap of projects. And you know, he spent the night. He's been flying back and forth between Florida a lot. There's a specialist there that can help take care of his daughter. She's got a health issue, and like the best in the country is there. So he's been doing a lot of travel to take care of his family, and he ended up doing an all-nighter in the airport. So he was suffering a little bit from fatigue and wasn't able to articulate his thoughts as well as he normally would have been able to do. So we have, I guess this will be the comments quick on the recycling facility. We have got a few minutes. There's been an argument made that, just go ahead and spend the solid waste enterprise funds on the recycling facility. Do the scoping, do the design, do the construction, maybe apply for grants, but if you don't get it, whatever. Do the solid waste enterprise fund. So this is the dump we're talking about. This is the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And the primary way the landfill gets funded is when a city of Fairbanks truck or when a borough contractor who's hauling stuff from the transfer sites drives over that scale, they get weighed.
Yep.
Then they go and they drop their trash off, And when they come back in, they get weighed again. They get billed for the difference. It's called the tipping fee.
Mm-hmm.
I bet most of the people listening know about this. But that's how they get it. And so then the argument that some of these folks are making is, well, just go spend all the money on the recycling facility. Don't worry about a business plan. Don't worry about if it pencils out or not, because the taxpayers don't pay for it. Well, David,
yes,
who pays the tipping fee?
Yeah, taxpayers.
44% of the tipping fee is paid directly by the borough-wide area, or not the borough-wide, sorry, the solid waste collection district. That's basically everything outside of the city of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
There's literally, everyone go out and check your tax bill. You have a mill rate for that.
Yeah.
You're paying the tipping fee. And it's like, it's such a ridiculous argument. And then even if you're in the city, well, like for myself, I'm not as directly paying it, but I still am. I live in a condo. So the condo has one of the commercial waste haulers, but they're paying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the residents, now you tell me, you're the mayor. You can tell me as your knowledge of the mayor, there is a fee for trash.
Yes.
Is that optional?
No.
Hmm, an optional fee. What's that called?
It's called a tax.
It looks like a tax to me. Yeah. So it's like,
and it was voted in by the city residents of Fairbanks.
So that just drives me nuts. If they say, well, this is different color money. It doesn't cost taxpayers anything.
It's a tax that if you have a structure on that property, fourplex or less.
Yeah.
You get billed.
Yeah,
period.
It's a very specific type of tax.
You know, I get people calling me up saying, well, I'm going to be gone for 4 months. We don't get to differentiate that. This was voted in by the city of Fairbanks long before I was ever a voter. And this is how it works. And it is a tax. No matter how you look at it, you can call it a fee, but it's designated user.
Yep. So to move on to the next idea. Jimmy had an amendment that was going to switch a couple of things. It was going to take the scoping, it was going to take the design work, sorry. It was going to take the $500,000 of design work for a new recycling facility. And it was going to replace that by moving up two school projects, the Lathrop Kitchen and then University Park Phase 4 construction. And he, in his fatigued state, made the mistake of saying, well, we're going to free up $500,000 from the central recycling facility, and we're going to put that towards schools. Which is wrong, because that money is going to stay or just not be expended out of tipping fees in the dump fund, basically. The reason to do it was to free up staff time.
Yeah.
It takes staff time to come up with that. And it wasn't an equal switch. There was still more being pushed forward than there was being moved out, but it was at least a partial offset. So there was that, and that wasn't really articulated, I don't think, at all during the meeting, which is why I'm saying it now. Hopefully at least someone was listening and we can get that in. But then the other, and you're going to hear some papers ruffling, this gives us the balance of that KIPMR fund, which pays for most of the projects in it. And the budget was projected to have $8 million in the fund. And you want to make sure the fund doesn't get anywhere close to zero. You always want to have some cushion in it.
Mm-hmm.
By moving this to the two school projects up, they cost in the neighborhood of $4 million, rounding, combined. And so if those all got expended, that means there would be a $4 million hit to that balance. So that'd bring the KIPMR down to four, which the mayor figured out, and he correctly stated that in debate. But what he didn't say was even more important. He said $4 million is too low. We probably shouldn't do that. Well, we passed an ordinance in December. We have interest, obviously, on cash and stuff that's sitting around. And the interest for just about everything goes into the general fund. Well, I've heard an ordinance back in December that says no interest in the KIPMR. That's what we call it now. It was originally the FMR.
Yeah,
now
it's
the KIPMR. Yeah, it stays there. Well, that's probably going to be worth in the order of $500,000, maybe $300,000-$500,000. And then the other thing is, because we're doing a percent, we're now up to 10. We started at 7. We've adjusted that over the years. We're probably going to have an extra $500,000 going into that fund than the spreadsheet originally said, because it was based off of the previous year's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just assuming the 10% of the old budget would keep going in. It's like, no, the budget usually grows because of inflation and everything. So really, that number should be closer to 5. That wasn't stated during the meeting. And then the other really important thing was, well, those projects were simply being moved up from the next fiscal year to the current one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what that means was, yes, there was going to be a one-time hit and it was going to go a little lower than what the mayor wanted, but all of that was going to recharge within 12 months.
Yeah.
So it's not like you were doing a permanent hit or anything. It was just a one-off coming right back in. Nobody articulated that at all during the meeting, which was just driving me nuts. I had the gavel. I was running. I couldn't participate in debate. I had to be the neutral referee. And there was these really relevant facts nobody was saying. And instead, there were folks in the meeting who well, I don't want to speak to intent, but it seemed like some folks were being made to look in a way that they were not, you know, to perhaps mismanaging the KIPP or whatever. They weren't. They had good reasons to do it, and for whatever reason, they weren't able to articulate it very well. So that was very, very frustrating. But just letting folks who are listening, like, there's good justification for what was done there. And then the other thing that wasn't stated, this is what the mayor said and then what he didn't say. He said, well, we might not be able to get those projects done because that's kind of overloading it a little bit. Well, so the response to that should have been said publicly, and I had this conversation with him when he was at the airport with you the next day, mm-hmm. as I said, well, just make sure you get the design and scoping work done for the school projects during the fiscal year. And then if you can, break ground at the end of the next school year. So we're talking, right now it's 2023, so we're talking like June 2024, start the project. So the actual construction would probably go across, you know, you want to do it when kids aren't in school.
Yeah,
it'd probably go across two of our fiscal years because our fiscal year's in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
You know, June/July are on opposite sides of the fiscal year. And that wasn't really said. And there's just so much that was important that wasn't said. And it was, any rate, now it's been said on, at least on this radio station, and I hope people know that you know, the assembly members are really thinking about this, and they're doing everything they can to make good decisions. So I don't see any more phone calls about that coming in, but
nope.
but that was going on. And then when it comes to the central recycling facility, what I would like to see, because there's a few things that weren't said on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the first big picture one: if the government doesn't do recycling, will recycling exist?
Nope.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
It will, David. For sure, at least with like aluminum and copper that exist here locally. It would probably exist at a lower scale, but you're going to have recycling with or without the government. Second thing is, if the borough doesn't build a brand new $5 million central recycling facility, will the borough still be doing recycling?
Yes.
The answer to that is yes. So, but there seemed to be this mood that if we didn't immediately rush into a $5 million recycling facility without a business plan, we weren't shown how this was going to, projections and how this would affect future cash flows or anything. There was this kind of mood that if we just go into it, if we don't go into it, that all recycling ends, period. No one said that, but there was a very strong mood.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We're getting rid of recycling.
Yeah, and that's not at all what was happening. Not at all.
Okay. Well, you got about 2 minutes left, sir. I appreciate you coming in here. Your meetings, boy, they last till 1 a.m. And what's my theory? There's no good government after 11 o'clock at night. That's my theory.
Sometimes. I think sometimes we're actually productive when we go late. Okay. It really depends on the circumstance.
It's your forum.
Yeah, so what we're going to do this next month, I've already talked to our clerk, is we do pairs of meetings. All months have at least four Thursdays in them. So typically the first Thursday we'll do a pair of work sessions, finance session, work session, and then we do our meeting on the second. And then same thing repeats on the third and fourth Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Well, in March we have five Thursdays. Typically we schedule nothing. So my intent is to make it so that our fourth Thursday, which is a regular meeting, notice it in the agenda that it'll just kind of auto adjourn if we go to 11:30 to the next Thursday. So it'll be a continuation. That way, if we do get a little bit of business stacked up, we can just go ahead and clear it out moving into the next month after that, reset the plate. And we sort of did something similar to that in January, but I think we ended up not needing it. We ended up using the Friday after, which no one wants to do, including myself. Staff doesn't want to do that. But if you have a fifth Thursday, it's like, hey, that's a good date. So we've already got the assembly chambers reserved in case we want to use it for that. And we can catch up on business if we get behind.
That's a good idea. That's a good way to do it. You know, I hope the meetings start going a lot easier and more fluid for everyone involved.
Well, I came up with another idea yesterday to make it a little easier. So part of the process of the borough, like building these construction projects, is they have to award contracts.
Yeah.
The contracts can be awarded during finance meetings.
Okay. Aaron, our time is over. But we'll get you on next month, okay? I'm enjoying this. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. I have a couple good guests on. I have Randy Zarnke with the Hockey Week, and I have the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, or the director of it, and I'll see you tomorrow.